Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Larry Richard, Unfiltered with Jim Krenz, Sheila Hyland. We cannot thank Gina Giampietro enough. Gina is the most trusted real estate agent in the region, and Gina has such class, such taste, that she's supporting this podcast effort. So Gina Giampietro from RE/MAX Select Realty, that's your go-to. So thanks, Gina. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenz, Sheila Hyland. It's episode 16, and we're really excited about this location because we're at the original immersive Van Gogh exhibit here in Pittsburgh.
Exciting. It's gorgeous here.
It really is, man. You feel
immersive.
You feel immersive. I feel cultural or something. I feel like, yeah. You know,
when you can talk about art at a high level, it makes you feel like
smarter.
Like you know something.
We feel smarter.
Right. We're going to make everybody feel smarter.
I feel smarter right now.
Just by listening. And by the way, we're going to post some tremendous videos and pictures to give you a sense of this. But we are fortunate to have the mastermind behind this. So when people hear about Van Gogh Immersive, what is that? Corey Ross is the mastermind with Starbucks. He's actually in Toronto. Is that right, Corey?
Yes, I'm in Toronto today. Good morning.
Morning, Corey.
Good morning.
Thanks for letting us peer in the window here before they open the gates. This has been an extraordinarily successful exhibit that started, actually, you opened in France, right, in 2019.
Well, what this is it's created by a gentleman named Massimiliano Sicardi. He really is, as I like to call him, the Steven Spielberg of these immersive genre, this genre of shows. And yes, he was producing his shows in France for a decade. And I was lucky enough to see a Van Gogh show that he created, because he's done them on a number of different artists. But I got to see his Van Gogh show in 2018 and met him. And I said to Massimiliano, we have to bring your work to America. By the way, the reason I call him the Steven Spielberg of the genre is because his work is so artistically amazing and also so popular. When I saw his work in Paris, he'd already sold over 2 million tickets there. And he's got the same kind of white hair and white beard, so he looks a little bit like Steven Spielberg as well.
Okay.
But he's just this incredible talent, and he puts together this show in a very specific and an amazing way that takes you right inside both the art of Van Gogh, but also the mind and the emotions of Van Gogh.
That's the most interesting thing, the mind in motion. How did he see that? I mean, really, how do you choose Van Gogh?
Right.
And then you start seeing his background, how colorful he was, how we could all relate to him in different ways. He was this imperfect man, and he kind of celebrated it. He did Starry Night from an asylum, I think. He suffered from severe depression. When I start reading about his life, I'm saying, human being, had a hard time, but one of the greatest artists of all, ever, obviously.
Absolutely. And we're colorful. Surrounded by sunflowers here as well. Yeah. But it's interesting, Corey, you talk about the immersive experience. For someone who hasn't been to the exhibit, explain what they're going to see when they come out here and look at this. I mean, because this is very unique.
Yeah, this is a great question. So, first of all, you have to sort of clear your mind from what a traditional art exhibit is, because this is something completely different. It's pretty well a new genre, and it brings together art, because you are seeing pieces that Van Gogh created, with filmmaking, because technically what Massimiliano has created is an animated film, where he moves the pieces and he adds movement inside Van Gogh's art, but also moves from piece to piece in sort of a stream of consciousness that tries to go inside Van Gogh's mind and emotion. And then finally, there's this experiential part, this part where you're walking through and choosing what angle you see and whether you sit or whether you stand or how you experience it. And so you kind of choose your own adventure. You can come in and go out and come back in. Those are the three things that come together and create a completely new way of encountering art. And that's the first part of this. When you walk into the gallery, every space, the floor, the columns, the walls, the brickwork, the architecture of the building is incorporated into the show, and he's projecting onto it. So you're standing right in the middle of the artistic installation, and it's projected all around you. In fact, if you wear white, it shows up very nicely on you. But you stand in the middle of this, and it unfolds around you. And what unfolds around you is Massimiliano's concept of what might have flashed before Van Gogh's eyes in the moments before he passed away. So it takes you through Van Gogh's mind, the development of his art, but it does this in, I guess I would call it almost a Cirque du Soleil style narrative. So it's not prescriptive. You need to be thinking and thoughtful or go along with it emotionally. Often people come and watch it several times because we don't tell you that you have to leave. We give you time to arrive, but you don't have to leave until it's time to go home and at night. Hmm. And so you might come and see it and watch it for the emotions and try to understand, you know, how Massimiliano is thinking about Van Gogh. And you might equally watch it just for the spectacle. It's massive. It's 20 feet high and all around you. And you also might watch it just to look at Van Gogh's techniques, because to see the art blown up on the size that it is, mm-hmm. you know, gets you closer to the brushstrokes, closer to the paint speckles than you ever would get in a museum without, you know, getting arrested for putting your nose right up against the against the painting. And so there's so many ways to sort of delve into the experience that you're having. But it is its own thing. It's not, you know, it's not a traditional art exhibit. And you still, you know, if you haven't gone to Amsterdam and seen the Van Gogh pieces there, to the MoMA in New York, you know, those pieces are valuable to see. It's just, this is a totally different thing.
It's amazing how it's broadened the art world to the masses. Because, you know, my you know, cousins in crafting will hang going down a Van Gogh exhibit. That they would never, ever go to any type of art exhibit.
Yeah, so Corey,
this is bringing a new audience.
That's our local linguistics, you know, the Yinzer style. These are born and breds like Jim and I. Sheila's a transplant, but she's been here so long, we consider her one of us. But Jim's right. In this town, with the Andy Warhol Museum, which is a more contemporary art, but it's the number one overall attraction for people coming from outside the state here. So we do have an appreciation for the art world. I'm curious, so far, what has been the reaction that you've heard back from the people here in Pittsburgh at the Van Gogh exhibit?
People just love this. It's so fresh and new and such an interesting way to come out of your house, coming out of COVID, and to see something and you can see it in a safe way, socially distanced from others. It's been an incredible success. Listen, we have opened 16 of these across the U.S. We were in Chicago, we're in New York, and we sold over 4 million tickets, which means that 1 in 90 American citizens has come to see Immersive Van Gogh. And we've had incredible people. We had George Lucas come in Chicago, and Madonna come in New York, and Britney Spears, as soon as she got out from under her father's control, the first place she went in L.A. was to come and see our exhibit. So the artists have poured out as well, and it's really interesting for me to see how artists react to it, because they're seeing really, as I explain it, this new genre, and you see their eyes light up and they begin to wonder what they can do with it. And Lucas wanted to talk to us about his museum that he's opening in LA and whether there's anything he could incorporate. And I see this as the tip of the iceberg for the world of immersive, and that so many people have now come to an immersive experience in the U.S. You know, many people will want to come and experience different ideas and different art, and it may be that, you know, the next one is Andy Warhol, but it may be that the next one is some completely new idea or contemporary artist or not even an artist, a music experience.
And right. Corey, why specifically Van Gogh? Why not Da Vinci? Why not any other artist? Why not Picasso?
Well,
what is it about... Why is it? What is it about Van Gogh that made you want to do this whole immersive experience here in the U.S.?
Well, listen, I was in Paris, you know, long before COVID, in 2018. It feels like another world. Met Massimiliano. I had seen his Van Gogh show, but I met him and said, "You're just a fabulous artist. Your work needs to come to America. Let's make it happen." And I said to him, "Well, who would you like to do first?" And it was, I was indifferent. He has done a Leonardo da Vinci show, and he's done a Monet show, and he's done a number of others. But I said to Massimiliano, "Who would you like to do first?" And he said, "Well, I would really like to do Van Gogh, because Van Gogh was the first artist who I remember going to see and touching me when I was a child. And also, I would like to innovate further on what we did in Paris." We kind of got it to a level that he was happy with. By the way, I mean, that exhibit in Paris became famous in the U.S. Because of Emily in Paris, who goes to visit it, and we had the woman who plays Emily in Paris in our gallery in Chicago, which was kind of fun as well. He wanted to do something new, something beyond what he'd done in Paris. He was excited about that, and I was excited just to have the opportunity to produce his show, so I said yes. Now here we are 2 years later, 3 years later, and we've come to this pandemic, and I think it was very fortunate that we chose this artist, because there's so much that people can relate to about Van Gogh. He's a guy that lived in isolation and struggled with mental illness, and yet the pieces that he created, the images that he created, bring people hope, bring people joy, and transcend the difficult times that he had. We're looking at them 130 years after he passed away, and I think that transcendence for the public has been part of the secret for why people have come out of their houses to see this. It's cathartic to have this experience and to know that it came from a guy who was experiencing difficult times like so many of us have.
Corey Ross, producer, Starbucks, the original immersive Van Gogh exhibit in Pittsburgh. Corey's in Toronto. This is Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 16. We have now culturalized ourselves to a whole new level. Hang on, I want to get behind the paintings and the immersive and talk a little bit more about the artist Van Gogh. Larry Richard Unfiltered with my good friends Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, excited to be at the original immersive Van Gogh exhibit in Pittsburgh. This is a hybrid here because it looks like we're on the bridge.
It does.
And the paintings. Yeah. And I think, guys, when you think of Van Gogh, I think every child has seen Starry, Starry Night, mm-hmm. at least knows that painting.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they know, okay, the name Van Gogh, but they might not know the real story behind him. And I think that's part of the fascination, is no matter who you are or what you do, to be your original self is ultimately, and that's going to be the lasting memory for somebody. And you may not be somebody that people in your time recognize as somebody special.
That's the thing in my mind. I keep thinking, imagine him going through what he's went through. And it's a shame that he doesn't know.
In other words, right. Well, that's a great point.
He only sold one painting.
Yes,
his entire life.
I wish he knew.
Well, and we are with and honored to have Corey Ross, producer who brought this show to America, brought it to Pittsburgh with Starbucks. He's in Toronto. And Corey, again, thanks for letting us do this. We're very excited about it. But can you give us kind of that thumbnail of the life of Vincent Van Gogh, more than just what people see on the surface?
Well, sure. First of all, I'm a producer and producing the show, so I don't profess to be a specific expert in Van Gogh, and I'm sure you're going to have listeners who have a lot more knowledge than I do, but he was an artist. He came out of the Impressionist period and really is the key guy that created what we call post-impressionism, and that has to do with the thickness of the paint on the canvas and the approach to color and images and the way that he created his work. But he also struggled. He struggled with mental illness. He very famously had a breakdown and cut off his ear and presented it to his girlfriend who had rejected him. And then ultimately he committed suicide. He's known, and his story is known, because he wrote thousands of letters to his brother Theo. And ultimately his brother was his heir. So these pieces that we all know today were inherited by Theo, who also didn't do, you know, a lot commercially with them, and passed away and left them to his wife, Joanne, who was, in fact, in my opinion, the best promoter of an artist in the history of art, because she took Van Gogh, whose work was completely unknown, and as a woman in the 19-teens, so between 1910 and 1920, he went around and created this story and got people excited about Van Gogh, and without her, none of us would know about Van Gogh. So this is interesting to me that this was something that a woman managed to do,
right,
in the early part of the last century. It's just really an extraordinary story.
Huh. I am, of course, not surprised by that.
Sheila is in full agreement that it was the woman that was the engine behind people discovering Van Gogh, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And you know, Corey, you mentioned his brother Theo. I believe it was Theo who was the only one to actually buy one of Van Gogh's paintings, correct?
That's right, and he was supporting him financially all those years. So and by the way, he came as, it was another interesting thing that came to me, you know, as I dealt with this project and learned a little bit about his biography, is that he only started painting at 27. He had tried a couple other careers before he started painting, and all of these works, and there's over 900 of them, happened between the age of 27 and 37, and while he was struggling with all of the troubles that he was struggling with, including spending time in an asylum. So it's an interesting story, and it's a story that, you know, that says that you can pick up something later in life. He'd never painted or had any training before, and create something marvelous if you're just devoted to it.
Another
question that I'm often asked is about this particular treatment of Van Gogh. So why would we, the question often comes, how would Van Gogh feel about seeing his shows in an immersive way? And, I mean, listen, my first answer to that is, how am I ever going to know the answer? Nobody knows how Van Gogh would feel. But here's what's really interesting is Van Gogh, in my opinion, would have been intrigued by this, because he was a cutting-edge artist in his day, and he was employing technology that artists in generations before him had not been able to employ. And that technology, bizarrely, is paint in tubes. So you used to have to mix your paint in the studio, and you had to paint right then and there using the materials that you had created. And Van Gogh is the first generation of artists who had the technology of paint in tubes. And so what did this mean? This meant that he could go out to the field and paint in the location, immersed in the scene that he's painting. And he could capture the color and the lights and the ideas and the concepts, and it completely transformed how he could paint. But to me, it's really intriguing. We have one of the first artists who could go out and be immersed in the scene that he's painting, and now we're applying technology to immerse the public in the painting that he painted. So it's that to me is fascinating.
I wonder if it's possible in the future, Corey, if we can do that with Jim Krenn, get inside his mind here and
immersion,
doing an immersive Yinzer experience down the road. But that'll come.
Oh yeah,
that'll come at another time.
I would not want to get
immersed. I have no comment. It's dangerous to go inside people's
minds. Yes, it is.
Well, when you meet Jim, you'll change your mind about wanting to do a big immersive there too. So,
but being inside the exhibit, the immersive experience, I guess you're supposed to feel like you're in Van Gogh's mind, right? Seeing what
you feel like you're in his pieces, and you feel like you're sensing his emotions. There's my favorite part of the show is that it comes to this sort of incredible, colorful, triumphant moment where the music comes to crescendo, and sometimes people think that's the end of the show, but the show actually goes on for another 20 minutes. What happens there is you're inside Van Gogh's mind as he's discovering the new color palette, the color palette that became Sunflowers and became Starry Night, because when he started, he was doing more monochromatic pieces like Potato Eaters, which is one of his famous pieces. But you go into his mind and you sort of see this epiphany of color. And then the experience delves into those pieces that benefited from this epiphany. And that's kind of, you know, part of the journey that we're taking you inside, that you sort of can follow in, as I say, a loose way. It's not a narrative. It's not prescriptive. This is emotional. This is sensory. But it takes you into the mind of Van Gogh. Hmm.
You know, the late, great American poet Maya Angelou wrote, "People won't remember what you write, they won't remember what you say, but they will always remember how you make them feel." Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we get from art. It, like you're saying, you have a different emotional experience the way you're doing it in 3D, let's call it, along with immersive, right?
That's a great perspective. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely.
And
we can't underplay the experiential part, that you choose how you come, how you go, how whether you sit, whether you stand, what angle you see it at. That plays into it, because you physically experience the journey of the art and the artist, and choose your path through this.
And like we said earlier, you know, we're going to see next year, right, the life of Madonna or somebody. You can immerse yourself in her life, or Frank Sinatra, or whatever it's going to be. This concept could be anybody, right?
Well, I kind of like that it's you know,
an artist,
the impression,
an
artist. Yeah, because we kind of know those people.
We're the public.
From,
yeah.
Recent history.
Right, we're
causing
Angle and Don Van Gogh.
We're already immersed in so much.
Right, makes it unique.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic.
It is.
The brainchild to do this, and that people, I think, especially now, the world we're living in the last couple of years, let's be honest, people want to get the hell out of the house, and they want to do it and have it meaningful and have something that takes their mind off of the gravity of what everybody's dealing with. And I think art does that too.
It does.
Absolutely.
It does.
I think it achieves that in a wonderful way, in a very thoughtful way, a thought-provoking way. It gives you something to talk about, think about, and to meditate on. I think the world is going to need some big parties, though. I mean, it's going, we also need to just get out of it, you know, beyond a meditative way, into something that maybe that's what we'll contemplate.
Hey,
next
I think that's
our,
next
our,
on the
our
list.
Immersive idea.
What are we doing?
Van Gogh party.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The Van Gogh party.
Can we do an immersive Van Gogh party?
We had a very successful Van Gogh party in New York where we were sponsored by one of the main marijuana companies.
Wow.
Very well, nice. Of course you were.
I can't believe you brought that up. It's like you read my mind. I didn't want to say it, but this is unfiltered, and that is, there's probably, you know, with how many states in America now have recreational marijuana legal, I would imagine there's a few people that have maybe a different immersive experience when they come.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly takes you, as I said, on a different journey. The other thing we do, which is fun, and we're doing it in Pittsburgh, is we do immersive Van Gogh yoga.
Wow!
And we bring in a yoga instructor. You can sign up for that, and it's just a different thing that you can do and a different way to interact with the art.
Wouldn't that be great?
It's so much fun.
I've heard of yoga with goats, but not with Van Gogh.
That's pretty cool.
I did the hot yoga.
Yeah, how'd you do?
It was great. I mean,
really?
Yeah, you sweat without actually doing anything. So
I'm not that limber.
No, that's only part of it. That would be a great thing, because we saw in the beautiful hall, the exhibit hall, there's plenty of room there. You could spread out on your yoga mat.
I just can't picture you doing yoga.
I can't either.
Can you?
No, I can't.
Namaste.
You have a yoga outfit?
And not without
your
glasses, for sure.
You have like a Lululemon outfit or something? Lululemon.
I don't know.
With a tutu?
Maybe, yeah. How about the person that invented yoga pants? Maybe that'll be the next.
My heart breaks for Van Gogh. I can't. I'm sorry. As soon as you said, at the beginning where you said, he cut his ear off, gave it to his girlfriend, it didn't work. To cut you off and get the friendship talk is the worst thing ever. I can't take it. My heart breaks for the man. You got the friendship.
Corey, if you couldn't possibly know, but Jim, along with his many accoutrements, is a stand-up comedian. So he sees the world in an artistic and different way. So he takes everyday life things and turns them into that.
Comedy.
Yeah. Strange. Amazing.
You mentioned earlier that he did 900 paintings in a period of, I think, 9 years. I mean, how is that even possible? Yeah, really. Was the man just going morning, noon, and night painting?
He had moments when he was completely incapacitated and wasn't productive at all, and he had moments where he was incredibly productive. Hmm. And so, yeah, he would paint and paint around the clock. And I guess those paintings happen faster than you would imagine. I mean, we look at them and we look at this as a masterpiece, Starry Night, that's lasted all these years. I can't tell you how long he took to paint it, but maybe not that long, as it turns out.
Well, pop quiz. What American artist did a song about his most famous painting? Ding, 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 ding.
I know.
Ding. You know,
yeah.
Jim?
Sure.
You know, Corey?
And
I know.
You know,
you know,
Corey?
Sheila?
I know the tune.
It's the 50th anniversary of his album, which also included American Pie. So
right.
Maybe that's
wow.
A good answer.
Very nice.
Very good. It's Don McLean, who I've interviewed 3 times. And on the world's first radio station, Corey, where I work, it's KDKA Radio here in Pittsburgh. The last time we had a music show, I played the last record, and I chose American Pie because of the day the music died.
Right.
And so I had a chance to interview Don McLean about the background of that, because everybody asked him all the time, what did you mean, whatever. But I wanted to also ask him about Starry Night, and fascinating. So if you have a chance, you're right, it's the 50th anniversary of that album. Very good, Corey. When are you coming to Pittsburgh?
Well, first of all, to finish off on the Don McLean topic, we've invited him to come into our gallery, so we're excited to see if he accepts that invitation.
But oh, cool.
It'll be a fabulous way to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Starry Night.
Right.
As for when I'm coming to Pittsburgh, I hope to get there. I mean, listen, this Omicron thing is not fun. It makes travel a little bit less fun, especially in and out of Canada and getting across the border. But I was planning to come in February as we begin to work to installing our next project, which will be Frida Kahlo.
Oh, here? In Pittsburgh?
Here in Pittsburgh. I think I'm giving you guys the scoop.
Is this breaking news?
Massimiliano has created a Frida Kahlo exhibit, which we're slowly rolling out across the country, and then we're looking at how to install it in Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
Ooh.
Well, that is breaking news.
Yeah,
well,
I think that'll be just as popular, too.
Congratulations, and appreciate you taking some time for us from Toronto. Corey Ross from Starbox, producer of this great immersive opportunity, Van Gogh, here in Pittsburgh. Corey, thank you, and when you do get to town, we want to meet you and love to show you Yinzer style our city.
Awesome. I'd love to do that.
Thanks, Corey.
All right. Thanks so much.
Corey.
Take care.
Terrific. You guys have all the information on where to buy tickets and the website. And
we're going to talk about all that next. So all you have to do is keep it on Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 16 from the original Immersive Van Gogh exhibit, Pittsburgh. Larry Richard Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and Kaylin Cramner, who is the venue operations manager, the original Immersive Van Gogh exhibit in Pittsburgh. It's on East Laycock Street, which, if you don't know, is on the north side. And it's a little surprise because it's this warehouse that they've turned into this beautiful 3D art piece. So, Kaylin, first, thanks for letting us come and visit.
Absolutely. Happy to have you.
And how did this thing land here? And how did you become involved?
Yeah, well, my background is museum studies. So I come from Texas originally, and I did my master's of science in London. I worked at the Natural History Museum in London, and then I moved to Pittsburgh and worked at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History for 3 years.
Oh, my God. I went to community college. You're killing me.
I've been in the museum world for a while, and then did some fundraising and landed here. So I'm happy to be able to be here and show this amazing experience to Yinzers.
Well, I'm glad we snagged you from all those different places to become a Pittsburgher. But before we talk about the details, you said opening the show, you got married. And
I did.
You know, how did that all happen right when you were about to launch Vandelic?
I know. I was planning a wedding and planning opening this venue at the same time.
So it's like you're planning a wedding and your baby at the same
time. Yes, both. Yes, this venue is like my child. but we were hiring gallery attendants and, you know, loading in all of the equipment. And we have 67 projectors overhead and 300,000 square cubic feet of projection. And so it's very exciting.
Did you expect it to be this successful? Did you think it was going to be like this?
Yeah. So we sit between Andy Warhol Museum and the Heinz History Center on the North Shore. And patrons will arrive and at this converted warehouse space, which encapsulates Pittsburgh. I mean, it's a beautiful juxtaposition between art and industry. And actually, 6% of Yinzers have seen the show so far.
6%?
That's incredible.
6%, yes.
Yeah.
You enter through our loading dock area and read about Van Gogh's life. And upon entering the lobby, patrons see this ode to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they get to see the Clemente Bridge.
I know you have the Pittsburgh Steelers logo. Who did that? It's giant.
Yes.
And it's cool.
That's
it's
a must in every museum, by the way.
Yeah, you got to have that.
As you would say.
You got to have
my imitation of a Yinzer is actually, I'm a Pittsburgher, but I actually imitate Jim, who's a Yinzer, too. So my Yinzer imitation is actually Jim imitating a Yinzer. I just wanted to clarify that.
Beautiful. Rowan Doyle was our creative producer that did all of the scenic work that you see around you. So she was involved in Meow Wolf, in the Museum of Ice Cream, so many other amazing things.
And we're sitting at the bridge that you mentioned, and there's also these little lock tags. Explain the significance of those.
So we encourage patrons to leave well wishes and notes and on the love lock tag, kind of like an ode to the one in Paris. We had the love locks in Pittsburgh for a while, and it's just like a nice memento to leave behind when you come and see the show.
Yeah, I'm looking just wed. Oh, that wasn't you, was it?
No. We've had so many engagements here.
Absolutely. Oh, and you know what? Here's what I'm reading a tag right now, and it says, "Be kind to people like Van Gogh. We all need more love." Love it.
Yeah, and as you heard, we talked to Corey from Starbucks, Corey Ross, and he kind of let the cat out of the bag of what's next. You want to fill us in a little more on what that is?
Sure. So the next show, so we have the reception for Van Gogh has been overwhelmingly positive.
Like, and you're extending the run.
We are. So we've extended the run until March 20th, and then we will do about a 10-day turnover to the next show. And so we'll bring in Frida, like Corey had mentioned.
And for those that don't know, who's Frida?
Frida Kahlo. She's a Latin American painter. Corey can
give you more all the background on Frida. All right, Jimmy, Sheila, we got to do some homework.
Well, that's right, the beauty of it. Like I said, it's going to the masses. Like, everyone now knows about Van Gogh, now they'll know about Frida. So
yeah, well,
great.
And Frida,
like you said,
I mean, if you don't know who Frida is, you just think about the unibrow. And that comes to, and that picture comes to mind. You've probably seen her. And
yeah,
and I think
and
she,
there was a movie. It was a movie made of about
I've seen her.
Yes.
At Ritter's Diner.
Yeah,
Ritter's. Yeah,
she was
waitress for 3 years. Then
all right, now the big question is, what do we got to do to get tickets? How much are tickets? Do you have to schedule a visit, or can you?
Yes, so tickets start at $39.99, okay. And you can go to vangopittsburgh.com and schedule your ticket today. And we're extended until March 20th, and we open 10 a.m. to about 10 p.m. almost every day. We're closed on Tuesdays. There's a calendar. You pick your time. You can come and enjoy the show. Grab a glass of wine at the Sunflower Cafe, bring it into the gallery,
cool.
Enjoy the show.
You can stay as long as you want.
Stay as long as you want. We run on a 36-minute loop.
Okay.
But we encourage our patrons to dance and walk around and sit on the floor and
meditate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that's a good place to start is when you get here, most people have no idea what to expect. Mm-hmm. So kind of walk us through what somebody coming for the first time, and that would be most of us, like us today, it was like, wow, look at that, wow.
I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So walk us through what somebody would do when they hit
absolutely.
The door.
Absolutely. So you would enter through our loading dock. which is a very beautiful entrance because it's such a juxtaposition between art and industry. It's very Pittsburgh. You can read about Van Gogh's life. You come in, you enter, and you see our box office area, which you can book tickets for the next show, which we just announced. You can take pictures at the Steelers Ode. You can go to our Sunflower Cafe, get a charcuterie board or a glass of wine or a mixed drink or soda if you want a soda. Bring it into the gallery. Stay as long as you want. We have cushions to sit on the floor and experience the immersive art just kind of building and moving around you. We encourage all of our patrons to walk around and dance and you know, have a good time. And then you can exit through our gift shop and get a memento.
You know what? Can I buy? I got a hat. My eye on a hat. I have to buy.
We'll
can
have
I
to get you one?
Can I purchase one? Okay.
That's a beautiful gift shop. There's so much.
We also work with local artists, and 100% of the proceeds go directly back to them.
You know what? That is very cool. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, Jim, you would look good in some of those hats.
Oh, we have yoga pants too, if you
want to. Actually, I'm getting into hot yoga. Larry's going to show me.
We're going to go. We're going to
Starry Night Yoga.
No, Larry
pants.
Needs that for his
I
yoga.
I can rock those.
Corey mentioned you have yoga in the immersive room.
We do. We have yoga mornings, which you can also book online at vangopittsburgh.com.
Wait, every morning?
Like not
Larry,
every
and
morning.
Larry and I want to do yoga here. What do we do?
Saturday and Sunday morning.
I want to get video of that.
No,
if the two of you
too.
Do that.
Sure.
No, I just want to videotape
you
the two of you doing
get my
that.
Starry Night
I'm not,
outfit
no,
and I'm
no
going,
way.
Man.
I'm videoing the two of you.
Now, I'm curious also. We're with Kaylin Cramner, who is the venue operations manager here at the original Immersive Van Gogh exhibit in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, what's your impression coming from all these places you've worked around the world? How do you like it? You know, we always want to know how you like Pittsburgh.
I love Pittsburgh.
Tell us why. What is it about this city?
I was born and raised in Texas, but I came here about 6 years ago for the job at the Carnegie Museum of Natural History. And Pittsburgh is such a beautiful city. Everybody is so humble and so excited, and to rally around sports. And to be able to bring, that was one of the things I told Rowan, is we have to have something Steelers in this exhibit.
It was brilliant, actually.
Absolutely.
Of you. It's like a religion
smart,
here.
Smart, Kaylin,
you know,
that was brilliant. You're right.
The user that comes in here is so excited to stand in front of the Steelers helmet.
Little did they know that Van Gogh was a fan of the Steelers.
Of course he was.
There's a few people that thought Van Gogh was a wide receiver from the 80s in the Steelers.
Yes.
He's in Super Bowl III. Van Gogh.
Didn't he play at Chenley?
Caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. I saw it.
That's hilarious.
You know, something about the exhibit, you mentioned it's, you know, this big room. I think a lot of us envisioned the Van Gogh exhibit as a bunch of different rooms that you walk into, but that's not actually the case.
No, so every venue is very different. In Dallas, there are multiple rooms, and in Pittsburgh, there's one room that has 20-foot-tall, you know, walls and glass sculptures that are inside the gallery that really play upon the projections. So each venue is very unique to the city, and I think our venue being a warehouse really encapsulates the Pittsburgh core and
right.
industry history that we have here.
Who's famous that you've seen here? Anybody? Do you see any athletes or anybody come
we
that
had
you
Mr.
know?
Mr. McFeely.
Mr. McFeely, speedy delivery.
Yeah.
Nice.
He was here.
Very exciting. Juju Smith-Schuster showed up at one point.
He must have loved this place. He probably did some videos.
Probably, yeah.
And now you have Larry Richard and Jim Crenn.
Exactly.
And
Sheila
you
Hyland.
Guys are here.
All right, so March 20th, extended. It's the original Immersive Van Gogh exhibit, Pittsburgh. Kaylin Cramner, the venue operations manager. This is very exciting. I'm happy that you're happy as a Pittsburgher, too. You've brought this great culture to our town. So thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
Absolutely. Come check us out.
Check it out. Larry Richard Unfiltered, Jim Crenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 16. I think this is a high mark, guys, as far as being in immersed in. We're immersed.
I feel more cultured.
We've raised the bar.
Being here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it.
And right? we want to thank our producer, Dick Roberts. Also want to thank Saul Markowitz and his famous son, Brandon Max, who we've had on our podcast.
TikTok famous.
Oh, yeah. I think we did one. We were pushing, you know, over 100,000 views. Does that impress you, Kaylin?
That is very impressive. I have 200 followers.
So he's
can't
really
relate.
Cool.
I am going to follow you.
Rick Dolnack, famous actor there behind the camera. Rick, you can see him in many productions in the future. And Jim Podolsky, who's our audio engineer and does all the electronics. We can't thank him enough. These have become a lot of fun for us. And
right.
We're learning something cool. Every week, guys, right?
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. Really is, Larry. It's great.
Who's your famous artist outside of Van Gogh? Do you have one?
I do. I like Picasso's work. I like some Monet's work. You know, so it's not that I work, but just I enjoy it. Like Van Gogh, I didn't know about his life until this exhibit. I knew about the year and the girl. God bless him.
That's all
My
you
heart
hear
still
about,
breaks
though.
With the girl. And, you know, really, he should have started with flowers, but that's his. Anyway, forget it. But still, he's now somebody I really want to. I can't wait to go through the exhibit and I'll become a fan.
Do you have a favorite artist, Sheila?
I do not. No. It might be Van Gogh.
Well,
now.
It is now, yeah, because Kaylin's here.
I have to say Van Gogh. Yes.
Yeah. This is pretty cool. So you got to see it. Immerse yourself in it. Kaylin, again, thank you.
Thanks, Kaylin.
Larry Richard Unfiltered, Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland. Immerse yourself. Go to Odyssey. It's a free app you can download. It's your access to a lot of great audio and kdkradio.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.